This podcast is brought to you by my Palm Beach Birthday Contest. Visit me in sunny Florida this January and celebrate with me. To enter, go to HowieCarshow.com and click on my birthday banner.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
After months of negotiating, Congress has finally reached a deal on another relief package.
Get to the money!
In a moment. First, let's review the minutes from our last meeting.
Get to the money!
Get to the money!
Get to the money!
Right now, we're looking at a $900 billion package. The money is expected to help schools, federal unemployment benefits, and includes a $600 stimulus check.
Finally!
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
Why'd it take all this time? We know why. We've heard Democrats say openly they were not willing to deal all summer and fall, but are willing now because they have a president-elect of their own political party. That's not my accusation, Mr. President. That's their admission.
It's not about me. It's about millions of Americans who can't put food on the table, who can't pay the rent.
And we represent them. And we represent them.
Getting
by
these long food lines that we're seeing. I know you are.
We know them.
I'm just saying.
We represent them and we know them.
As we say.
We know them. We represent them.
Madam Speaker.
Always the case, but we're not even close to the good.
We're going to get no place if we're going to continue listening to this old bag.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
If I thought a special counsel at this stage was the right tool and was appropriate, I would name one, but I haven't, and I'm not going to.
Surely you can't be serious.
Unchained and unstoppable.
What I worry about is we're going to go into Inauguration Day with the potential to inaugurate an illegal and illegitimate president when we already have a lot of the United States believing that the greatest democracy in world history can't run a fair election. This is not a recipe for tranquility over the next 4 years.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
Hello, everyone. This is Grace Curley. I'm actually filling in for Howie Carr, who isn't going to be enjoying a nice Christmas break, a well-deserved Christmas break. And I don't want to waste a lot of time. We have a lot of news to get to. And I feel as though normally this week leading up to Christmas would be a slow news week in a typical world. But in Trump world, there's no such thing. There's always news, and today is no different. Congress is likely going to pass a COVID-19 relief deal by tonight. They're voting on it. And I want to go over, before I get into talking about why it took so long, which you heard Mitch McConnell refer to in the opening, I do want to talk a little bit about what is in this bill. Okay, it's a $900 billion in COVID relief funds, and it's attached to $1.4 trillion in an omnibus bill to fund the government for the 2021 fiscal year. So that's $2.3 trillion total. That's a lot of money. And I think what most people are interested in is the stimulus checks. That's what I've been seeing the most backlash about. Some people don't think it's enough. It's $600, but it breaks down. Like everything else, it's a little bit more complicated than that. Individuals making up to $75,000 a year will receive a direct cash payment of $600, while couples making up to $150,000 will receive $1,200 on top of $600 for dependents under the age of 17. Now, this goes on to explain that small businesses will also get a lot of money through this, $325 billion through the bill. That includes PPPs and other loan situations like that. And the measure also extends an eviction moratorium that was poised to sunset at the end of the year through January 31st, 2021. And there's also $69 billion for vaccine distribution and testing efforts. So this is a huge bill. And it took a very long time to get to this point. Now, you heard Mitch McConnell in the opening talking about how this was because Democrats refused to work with Donald Trump. And he is 1,000% correct. And he's not making it up. He's using their own words. Nancy Pelosi, the speaker, has said this. The master legislator has said that she was refusing to make a deal. And I'm not going to misquote her. I'm going to say exactly what she said. She was being asked by some reporters, you know, why this had taken so long, why she was refusing to negotiate. And she said, that was not a mistake. It was a decision. and it has taken us to a place where we can do the right thing. She later said, so we're very pleased that is where it is. And as I say, with a Democratic president committed to a scientific solution for this is we will have a vaccine. She goes on to say. It's all about Trump. Everything comes back to Trump. But what I do want to talk about here is what Pelosi said today, because she's coming up with her own reasons why they weren't able to pass the bill. And according to her, it's because the Trump administration, the administration that has now successfully launched Warp Speed, which has gotten us two vaccines, does not believe in science, according to Nancy Pelosi. Okay, so this is Nancy Pelosi, cut five.
People say around here sometimes, I'm faith-oriented, so I don't believe in science. And I said, well, you can do both. Science is an answer to our prayers. And our prayers have been answered with a vaccine.
Now, Jared, correct me if I'm wrong. She said, people say.
Yes.
So that's a little bit of a Governor Baker.
Yes, these mysterious, ubiquitous people that we never see or hear from.
Who are these people, Nancy? Can you give us names or even initials? Can you give us a hint? Who are these people who are religious and say they don't believe in science? Let's listen to that one more time.
People say around here sometimes, I'm faith-oriented, so I don't believe in science. And I said, well, you can do both. Science is an answer to our prayers. And our prayers have been answered with a vaccine.
It really is unbelievable, the ego on this woman, as if we're all going to forget the several times. She didn't just say it once. She said it several times. And she was so obnoxious about not negotiating with Republicans that even Wolf Blitzer, you heard a little bit of that in the opening, even Wolf Blitzer called her out and basically said, why can't you move an inch and get people some stimulus checks? And she was so defensive that I think she called Wolf Blitzer an apologist for the Republican Party. I don't watch a lot of CNN, but I'm fairly confident that Wolf Blitzer is not an apologist for the Republican Party. If he is one, he is doing a terrible job. But I do want to play that. Let's listen to this flashback. This is cut 18.
They really need the money right now. And even members of your own...
I understand that, but
even members of your own caucus... Even members of your own caucus, Madam Speaker, want to accept this deal. $1.8 trillion, Congressman Ro Khanna, for example.
But
let me just quote Ro Khanna, a man you know well. I assume you admire him. He's a Democrat. And he just said this. He said, people in need can't wait until February. $1.8 trillion is significant and more than twice the Obama stimulus. Make a deal. Put the ball in McConnell court. So what do you say to Ro Khanna?
What I say to you is, I don't know why you're always an apologist, and many of your colleagues, apologists for the Republican position. Ro Khanna, that's nice. That isn't what we're going to do, and nobody's waiting till February.
So now, rather than just pass this COVID relief bill and move on from what is a loss for Nancy Pelosi, I mean, she really looked like a brat throughout this whole thing. Now she's so arrogant that she wants to spin it at the last minute and say, the reason I didn't want to pass this was because of the quackery coming out of the Trump administration. I think that's the word she used, quackery. And the truth is that everything Nancy Pelosi has done in the last 4 years is a direct decision based off of what she thinks is going to hurt Trump. And the same thing is happening right now with Congressman Eric Swalwell. Here's a guy who had a relationship, I'm not going to say what kind of relationship, I really don't know, with a Chinese spy. And he's on the House Intel Committee. That would be the easiest decision for Nancy Pelosi to make. A rational human being would say, we can't have this guy on the House Intel. It's a disaster waiting to happen if it hasn't already happened. And it's now been, I think, 11 days since that Axios report dropped. She won't take him off the committee because she has full confidence in Eric Swalwell, which tells you a lot about her judgment to start. But the real reason she won't take him off the committee is because she doesn't want to give Trump the satisfaction of seeing someone like Eric Swalwell taken down a peg. And what she's actually doing by not just doing the same thing is she's making it worse for Eric Swalwell. Because now the story has more air than it had before. It's for someone who's been described as such a genius by the mainstream media, I'm baffled by so many of her decisions. But I think Mitch McConnell put it perfectly today. This is all on the Democrats. It's all on Nancy Pelosi. That's why it took so long. And they're not going to admit it because they never admit anything, but it's the truth. Guys, we have so much to get to. We have so many great guests coming up. I'm so excited for today's show. We got Corey Lewandowski at 4:30 and a ton more people coming on. So do not change that dial. I'm Grace Curley. I'm filling in for Howie Carr. This is The Howie Carr Show.
The Howie Carr Show. Say what you will about him.
He's a common, ignorant slob. He don't even speak good English.
He doesn't even speak good English.
He's Howie Carr, and he's here to stay.
But I do pray for him, and I do so sincerely and without anguish. You know, I gently, that's the way I pray for everybody else.
I pray for the United States of America.
I pray for the president all the time, and I tell him that. I pray for his safety and that of his family.
We have to be prayerful.
We all pray for you. I, with your permission.
Excellent, excellent montage, Jared. I forgot about the with your permission.
Oh, yeah, she's very responsible that way.
As Howie Karen always says, she prays for Trump. P-R-E-Y-S. So Nancy Pelosi today saying that she hears from people who are, you know, religious, that they do not believe in science. Because that's something that I fully believe people said to her while she was walking around the house. I'm sure someone said that at some point. I'm sure this is one of those straw men. I mean, Obama was known for setting up straw men, but even he had a better way about it than these current politicians. They're so obvious. They don't even phrase things. Like, so she heard people say this. Are these the same people who heard Trump say that veterans are losers and what was it, Jared?
Suckers.
Losers and suckers. We never found those people either. We never got down to the bottom of those sources. We never connected the dots. But sure, that sounds great, Nancy. Anyway, though, guys, we do have more news to get to, including the vaccine. I'm looking up at the TV right now, and President-elect Joe Biden is receiving the COVID-19 vaccine. Before we get to more news about that, we have the poll question to get to. Howie is not here. I am Grace Curley filling in. But the poll question is still here. Today's poll question is brought to you by Howie's Palm Beach Birthday Contest. Enter to win a trip to sunny Florida and spend Howie's birthday weekend with the captain. Go to HowieCarsha.com and click on the birthday banner. Howie will pay. I'm pretty sure this is true. I checked with the mailroom manager. Howie is going to pay for your flight, for your hotel, and he's going to pick up the tab at dinner. This is a once in a lifetime, truly. So get to the HowieCarsha.com. You don't have to buy anything. You don't have to do anything. You just have to put in your email and you're entered to win this contest. This is by far the biggest contest we've ever run. So make sure you do that today. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Are you mad that AOC and other members of Congress are getting the vaccine first?
So I should give a little bit of background to this. I was on Instagram this weekend and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the congresswoman from the Bronx, was doing, I don't know if it was a live stream or something, but she was documenting getting the vaccine. And she, you know, was showing people this is how you get it. And, you know, this is what the side effects can be. And she was fine at the end of it. And there was this huge backlash on Twitter from people who felt like, I think Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is 31 years old. She appears to be relatively healthy. A lot of people felt as though this vaccine should be going to older people or to healthcare workers, not to AOC. So I was seeing this debate on Twitter, and I took the side of the Democrats have demonized this vaccine for so many months. They've politicized it. You had Andrew Cuomo, you had Joe Biden, you had Kamala Harris. Everybody saying they would not trust the vaccine solely because it was being rolled out under the Trump administration. So to see someone who's so well known and who has such a big following with the progressives marching down to get her vaccine and promoting it and saying she felt fine afterwards, I was happy because I thought, good, maybe some of it incentivizes people to get it if they know that it works and that, you know, you're not going to get any side effects. So I say I am not mad that AOC got the vaccine. I thought it was a good thing. What are the results, Jared?
61% say yes, they are mad that AOC and other members are getting the vaccine first.
So, and Jared, I don't know if you'll agree with me on this. AOC, whether you like her or you don't like her, she is like the Trump for Democrats. In other words, no matter what she does, conservatives are going to get mad. She's a lightning rod. So if she didn't get the vaccine, people would be saying she's afraid to get the vaccine. Why should we get it if you're not going to get it? And then she gets the vaccine and people say, you shouldn't be getting the vaccine. My grandfather should get it before you. So she can't win for losing. Either way, she's going to get hate. So I personally feel I'm happy that she promoted it so much and that she promoted it in a good light, which I think is what this vaccine deserves for how long it took and how much work went into it. I was happy to see it. But I do want to take a few calls on this because I'm curious if anyone's going to have differing opinions. Let's go to Steven. Steven, you're next.
Yeah, hi, Grace.
Hey.
Yeah, hey, first of all, I want to point out that people didn't say they wouldn't take the vaccine because of Trump. They said they would take the vaccine as long as Dr. Fauci signed off on it. And, I mean, who the hell would listen to Trump anyway? The guy's telling people to take hydroxy.
See, Stephen, that's where I'm actually going to disagree with you, because I do think people, maybe they didn't say it in that many words, but people definitely said that because it was Trump's vaccine, that they might have not said, I'm not going to take it, but they definitely didn't encourage taking it. I mean, I'll get you the quote from Andrew Cuomo on the other side because we don't have a lot of time left, but there were definitely people. Kamala Harris said she didn't trust it because it was Trump's. So I don't really know what you're saying, because that is actually exactly what was implied by a lot of these politicians.
No. I mean, if he was behind forcing it out quickly and Fauci doesn't sign off on it, a lot of people said, no, I'm not going to take it unless I hear from
the expert. But in what world was that going to happen? In what world was Trump going to give it the okay to a vaccine and it was going to be rolled out without the FDA or without other doctors saying it was okay? Is that an actual situation that you could foresee happening in the United States?
Great. What, 2 weeks ago, didn't Trump told the FDA guy that if he didn't approve the drug that day, he was fired. So Trump needs to keep his nose out of what these people are doing. They're experts.
Well, Stephen, would you admit now that maybe Trump did a good job? I mean, it seems like we have two vaccines on the market before January 1st. And when all your Democratic friends were saying we weren't going to get one, Lord knows we weren't going to get one by the end of the year, let alone this soon. Do you admit that maybe he did something right with that?
Grace, calm down.
I'm good, Stephen. I'm hosting the show, man. Cool as a cucumber. Let's go. You know, we don't really have a lot of time, but when we get back, we'll talk more about this. It's an interesting point of view, Stephen, but you guys were wrong about the vaccine, and none of you have even admitted it. You haven't even given Trump so much as a good job. And I hate to say it, but I'm not surprised. Guys, when we get back, we got more to get to. I'm going to go through the Hunter Biden stuff. So much news. I'm Grace Curley, filling in for Howie Carr. This is the Howie Carr Show.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
If the Trump administration approves a vaccine before or after the election, should Americans take it, and would you take it?
If the public health professionals, if Dr. Fauci, if the doctors tell us that we should take it, I'll be the first in line to take it. Absolutely. But if Donald Trump tells us that we should take it, I'm not taking it.
What if both of them tell you? What happens in that situation, Stephen? These people. Hypocrites galore. And I actually want to talk about one of the biggest hypocrites right now, speaking of the Biden administration. There's a great piece out today. It's in The Federalist. It's by someone named Tristan Justice, I believe his name is. Yes, Tristan Justice from The Federalist. He has a piece. It's called All the People Who Should Be Embarrassed About the Latest Hunter Biden News Ranked. Now, there's been a lot of news stories in 2020 that drive me absolutely bonkers, but I think most of us can agree that Hunter Biden really puts the media in such a bad light because they were so obvious about how partisan they were. They didn't report on something, and then just days later, when it was convenient, when they thought Joe Biden won the election, they think we're not going to remember that they censored and debunked this story for weeks. So in this story, he goes through all of the worst offenders, the first one being Joe Biden. Because I feel as though if this was Donald Trump and he knew what his son was doing, Donald Trump Jr., and he lied repeatedly on record and said he had no idea about these business dealings, I think that would be a big story. And it's not with Joe Biden. So I want to play some flashbacks here of Joe Biden discussing how there was no conflict of interest. And Hunter, now keep in mind, Hunter Biden is the smartest person Joe Biden knows. He has told us that. So it makes sense that he would defend him and he would believe what Hunter Biden tells him. Let's do cut nine.
How is your role as vice president in charge of policy in Ukraine and your son's job in Ukraine, how is that not a conflict of interest?
It's not a conflict of interest. There's been no indication of any conflict of interest from Ukraine or anywhere else. Period. I'm not going to respond to that. Let's focus on the problem. Focus on this man, what he's doing that no president has ever done. No president.
Seems like he's a little defensive there. And now it all makes sense. Why? So this is what Tristan writes. The first bombshell to drop in the New York Post series of October exposés caught Joe Biden lying throughout the entire campaign when repeatedly denying ever discussing business with his son or anyone else. Indeed, 2015 emails show Joe Biden personally met with a senior advisor for Burisma, the Ukrainian energy firm showering the vice president's son with upwards of $50,000 a month in excess compensation, while Joe Biden served as the public face of Obama administration policy on Ukraine. And I'm so glad that this writer, Tristan, added this in. He said, Biden, however, even fat-shamed an Iowa voter for bringing the Ukraine scandal up. We all remember when he called that voter fat. I think he said something like, listen, fat. I forgot it was about that. I forgot that what triggered him was a reporter asking or a voter asking him about the Ukraine. But it does, again, make sense. Let's do this cut 10. This is Joe Biden saying that he did not talk Ukraine business with Hunter.
There is a photo of you golfing with your son Hunter and his business partner Devin Archer. Do you stand by your statement that you did not discuss any of your son's overseas business?
Yes, I stand by that statement.
So he stands by that statement. Now, guaranteed, this isn't under oath, but he's still a politician and he still should be held to some standard if he's saying, especially about something of this magnitude. Emails published by the New York Post dated a month later show the same Chinese business partners offering Hunter Biden a 10. Now, this is going on to the China deals. Hunter has deals all over. When he's not working on his artwork, the concentric circles, he's got big business deals. Partners offering Hunter Biden a $10 million a year contract for introductions alone, setting aside a sizable portion for Joe Biden funneled through Hunter. That would be the whole email list about the big guy. Okay, so that's the first person who should be embarrassed by this Hunter Biden story, obviously. But next up, this writer picks Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey, which I fully agree with. Because if you remember, when the Hunter Biden laptop first was revealed, this is how it came out. Hunter Biden brought this laptop to a repair shop and left it there. He did not remember it. He did not send them an email saying, I'm coming to get it. He just left it there. And the man repairing the laptop turned it over to the FBI. When the New York Post got this story, it came with pictures of Hunter Biden in a bathtub. It came with all sorts of emails. In any other time, this would have been a massive story. And it was in conservative circles, but you didn't see it anywhere, mostly because Jack Dorsey banned it from Twitter. He censored the New York Post. He suspended their account for 2 weeks. And in doing so, he gave Joe Biden the biggest in-kind contribution a person could ask for by not reporting the story and not allowing others to report on it. And I should mention that also goes for Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg. So this is what the Federalist writes. As Twitter suppressed the New York Post reporting on its platform, Facebook followed suit, announcing through a company spokesperson and former Democratic staffer, I'm shocked, the company would be preemptively censoring the Post blockbuster reporting until it underwent review from its third-party fact checkers. Because that's what we do now with news stories. We have Facebook fact checkers go through them for weeks at a time until we decide that they are good enough to print. And it's hilarious because you'll remember a lot of the reasoning behind this was they thought the laptop was hacked and they thought this smelled fishy. This could be Russian disinformation. Spoiler alert, it was not. And it was very clear to anyone with a brain that it was not. It just didn't have anything about it that, I mean, he left the laptop at a shop. There was nothing about the laptop that seemed like it was fake. And like I said, it would have been a big story otherwise. Now, this is where it also gets maddening, because as you remember, Donald Trump had an interview with Leslie Stahl from 60 Minutes, and he specifically brought up the laptop. And he was laughed at, essentially. Leslie Stahl said, you know, we're not reporting on that. Here we go. Cut 22. This is Trump on 60 Minutes.
I wish you would interview Joe Biden like you interview me. It would be so good. You know what?
I
don't mind it. But when I watch him walk out of a store and he's walking with ice cream, and the question the media asks him, what kind of ice cream, what flavor ice cream do you have? And he's in the midst of a scandal.
He's not.
And he's taking... Of course he is, Leslie.
Come on.
Of course he is. It's the biggest, second biggest scandal. So the biggest scandal was when they spied on my campaign.
So he says, she says to him, he's not. Talk about condescending. And this is Big Brother. This is the Ministry of Truth. If Leslie Stahl says that Joe Biden's not in the middle of a scandal, then he's not. And if people bring forward, I remember it was Elizabeth Harrington. She's a spokesperson for the RNC. She was on CNN with Christiane Amanpour. I might be butchering that name. I always have trouble with that.
Close. Christiane Amanpour.
Thank you, Jared. That's why you're such a good producer. She was on and she was trying to bring up the Hunter Biden scandal. And the reporter, who Jared just named, I won't try again to say that, she said they couldn't report on it either and that she wasn't going to do Liz Harrington's work for her, because apparently looking into massive bombshells is no longer the job of journalists and they can't report on it and they can't verify things that can't be verified. And the only way to verify something is to look into it, and they're not going to look into it. So here we are. But perhaps the most hilarious was the NPR editors who sent out that email where they said, we don't want to waste our time on stories that are not real stories. Fast forward to today. It's a very real story, as it was then. And they're reporting on it slightly, but they have bigger things to worry about, like Pete Buttigieg's love of airports and trains and cars and whatever else. But one of my favorites was when Brian Stelter was doing a podcast and he was talking to the Washington Examiner, Susan Ferriccio, and she laid into him and laid into the whole media. And he got real defensive. He pulled a Greta Thunberg. It was amazing.
How dare you?
How dare you? And, you know, I think I have this on here. Yep, this is cut 23.
Yeah, but that doesn't stop any from reporting the Mueller and the dossier and all that stuff.
I know you're bitter. Now, I understand that you have a lot of resentment about that.
Now we have ethics. Okay, now we have ethics.
Don't you dare act like newsrooms didn't have ethics in 2017 and 2018.
Well, I know they did. So, well, you can dare me all you want, Brian. I've been doing this for 30 years. So say whatever you want. It's my view. And I have a right to say it.
He was clutching his pearls there for a second. Don't you dare.
How dare you?
We can't dare criticize CNN, who has had about 30 stories that were incorrect and all made Trump look bad. We're supposed to believe those were honest mistakes, guys. Don't you dare imply that there's something afoot at CNN. And now the stories about Hunter Biden that all of these people refused to comment on and refused to investigate, they're getting better and better. And Howie actually turned me on to this story about the diamond. This is the wildest one that I've heard. 2.8 carat, $80,000 diamond given to Hunter Biden, reportedly part of probe. A diamond given to Hunter Biden by a since vanished Chinese engineer tycoon is part of the ongoing tax fraud probe and a potentially broader probe into President-elect Joe Biden's son. So his ex-wife, Kathleen, the New York Post says his first ex-wife. Has he been divorced twice?
I don't know. How many sister-in-laws did he have?
Jared.
I'm just asking.
How dare you?
How dare you?
I thought he was only married once, but I could be wrong. But his first wife, Kathleen, says that the diamond that he got from this Chinese energy tycoon is worth $80,000. He says he's lowballing it. He says it's closer to $10,000. Who do you believe? I'm going to say I believe the ex-wife that it's worth $80,000. But which begs the question, I'm not a business person. I don't know. So maybe this is more common than I think it is. But when was the last time you were on a sales call or at a business meeting and you went to the hotel on this business meeting and someone showed up at your door with a 2.8 carat diamond as a gift? Is that... Jared, has that ever happened to you?
No, I have to sign a form with the state of Massachusetts that says I won't accept anything as a holiday gift over $75. Like, what? Let alone a $10,000 diamond.
Well, that was part of the...
Or $80,000.
That was part of the situation here was that he knew something was odd about it. I think I read that, like, oh, he really thought something was amiss, but he didn't not take it. I think he took it and gave it to the two guys he worked with. In August 2017, her lawyer, this is, I believe, his first wife, Kathleen, her lawyer demanded proof that the diamond was in a safety deposit box accessible only by both parties together. It's unclear how the dispute was resolved. Oh, this is what he said. He claimed, I knew it wasn't a good idea to take it. It just felt like it was weird. Yeah. Nothing to see here. Diamonds are a guy's best friend, and they're forever. The internet's forever, and diamonds are forever. And Hunter Biden is going to learn both of those things the hard way. Guys, I'm Grace Curley. I'm filling in for Howie. We got tons more news to get to. More Biden news. This time, Joe Biden's niece is in a little bit of trouble. We're going to talk about that on the other side. I'm filling in for Howie. This is the Howie Carr Show.
Howie Carr will return after this brief commercial break.
He regret it to his dying day, if ever he lives that long.
Howie Carr is back.
I have to say, the Trump deranged listeners are really coming out today. Someone just texted in and said, but did the laptop have anything to do with the Hunter tax case? Yeah. You should really look into it. A lot of those emails are involved in this current tax case. And think of it like this: if they found a laptop, and I think it was filled with some sort of liquid, that's why he had to bring it into the repair shop. If they found a laptop of Donald Trump Jr.'s, and it was a treasure trove of business emails, and then they opened up an investigation into Donald Trump Jr.'s taxes, do you think could you connect the dots with that? I mean, we were reading in between the lines for 4 years of a Russia hoax that never happened. and we were just, you know, pulling things out of thin air for that. But we can't draw a line from the laptop to this tax investigation. Call me crazy. I think the two might be connected. Anyway, guys, more Biden news. It's not all about Hunter today. Joe Biden's niece, Caroline, receives zero jail time after pleading guilty to DUI. Caroline is Joe's brother, Jim's daughter, I believe. Caroline Biden, 33. She pled guilty to a charge of driving under the influence and driving without a license after she slammed her car into a tree in Pennsylvania in August of 2019. She did not get any jail time for this. She will not be locked up. She instead faces 5+ months of probation, 20 days of rehab in January. She will be on probation. And Caroline Biden is the daughter of James Biden, Joe Biden's brother. And she'll have her license suspended for a year. Now, this is not her first run-in with the law. In September of 2013, she was charged with allegedly hitting an NYPD officer after an argument with a roommate. She was sentenced to anger management treatment. And in 2017, this one's even more interesting. In 2017, Caroline had a felony conviction looming after she was charged with using a stolen credit card to spend more than $110,000. She later pled guilty to a charge of petty larceny and never served a day in jail. So we talk a lot now. It was a big topic of conversation in 2020 was white privilege. Call me crazy, but a lot of these Bidens, it feels like, I'm not going to say white privilege. It feels, I think Donald Trump Jr. would say liberal privilege, because if this were anyone else's child, they would have faced some jail time by now.
Do you know who I am?
Oh, I'm sure that was used. The New York Post noted in July that jail time is a rarity when a Biden runs afoul of the law, particularly Caroline Biden, who, like I said, had two previous bouts with the law in New York State. The Post noted that there have been at least 9 cases involving Biden family members, including Joe Biden's brother Frank, Joe Biden's son Hunter, and his daughter Ashley, in which no jail time was ever served. That is white privilege to a T. I mean, forget the DUI. I understand that a lot of politicians get that kind of tossed out for their family members or whatever. But $110,000 on a stolen credit card, that's kind of a big deal. And when this is her third time and she's getting off scot-free, Hunter's getting off scot-free. And if this bothers you, let me assure you, you're not the only one. Anyone who's been paying attention to this Biden family is frustrated at this point. And the media's refusal to cover it is maddening. But we do have to give credit to the New York Post, because they will not let up with the Bidens. Guys, we got Corey Lewandowski coming up next. So much news to get to. Do not turn that dial. I'm Grace Curley. I'm filling in for Howie Carr. This is the Howie Carr Show.